So my final project that I'm doing in school is okay. for this business writing class. And I have to write a business report about a trend in an industry of some sort.
Okay.
So naturally, I've decided to do mine on monetization. And it is so hard for me to keep this business report in like an objective fashion. This thing's supposed to be 5 pages long and like have multiple sources. And the whole thing is you have to have, it's got to be a professional format where it's just like, you're not taking a side on anything. You're just merely laying out facts. And I'll tell you, in the research I've been doing for this, the shit's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Like when you see hard numbers and expectations year over year, mm-hmm. and oh my sweet Christ, the one thing that I was searching. So like, I know how to search for stuff for this because I'm very familiar with terminology. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do a section on the report about like the percentage of, you know, people who actually like buy stuff in like microtransactions and shit like that. So I do a search about like whales in microtransaction economies, and I pull up an actual scientific report. This is it. You get like just a brief overview, and thank God the overview was enough for me to be able to get something to cite from it. Because it was aimed at businesses, this like psychological profile aimed to sell to businesses for $4,000 a pop. But you could email the people who did this and ask for a free sample. So I'm like, shit, see what the fuck happens. So I sent him an email, and 2 days later I get a sample from the report itself. I still haven't looked at it, but it's just like, this is the disgusting shit that's out there.
You got to keep going over your paper and be like, nope, too many motherfuckers in this. I've got to.
Yeah, I told myself I'd do the first half is the quote unquote positives, like all the money that it brings in and shit like that. But the second half of it was going to be hurdles and obstacles, because I knew that part was going to be the easiest part for me to write.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Rye with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, have for whatever reason decided to tune into another horrible gaming podcast, but I am not alone, and usually I am never alone. With me is
Neil, aka Tiny Wizard.
And we're gonna have some fun today. This was a Neil topic. We're gonna talk about our tastes and aging. And how aging affects gaming and your gaming tastes. I think that's a really interesting topic.
So true, take a look old at that. Man gaming shit.
Yeah, right. It only took us 238 episodes to do a true old man gaming stuff.
We finally hit our stride.
Yeah, right? Ha ha! We did it. But before we get into it, we got to thank the people who have made this possible. Behind our ugly mugs, you see a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes it, using my brother Nick Van Sider. We thank him for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Fan Interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment by far. That is Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans. We read out all your comments on the YouTubes and anywhere else we remember to look. So today, we got quite a few comments. So let's get into it. We start with William Howen. Hi! Exclamation point. So I don't know why, but I have nothing really to say. And then he says, thanks for the show, though. I really needed it. Hashtag day 63 of the strike. That is no fun, man. That is no fun. No fun. So then Jason goes, so Neil is bulimic. He then continues, I hate puking. I will do everything I can not to puke. I will put all my will into not puking. I will suffer rather than puke. Yeah, I will say this, though. There are some sicknesses that don't give you the choice. And those are... I'm with you. I'm, for the most part, with you. Like, I will, like, force myself to not vomit as long as I possibly can. But, And since we're getting gross with it, I'll tell you, the worst thing is when I get sick enough to puke, it always starts on the backside. So I always end up having to puke, like, while I'm, like, peeing out my butt, basically. Mm-hmm. And it creates the grossest situation that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot courtesy flush fast enough while I turn around with my naked ass to, like, puke in the same place that I just pooped. Yeah, it's just terrible. Terrible, 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 terrible. You are feeling better, though, now, right?
Yeah, it took me about a week, honestly. I still wasn't eating food on a regular basis.
Stuff
it was
sticks
just
with
toast
you,
for a while. And even today, like, I was scared to death because one of the last things that I had eaten was some, we made some carnitas. And today that we're recording is Cinco de Mayo. So of course it was like mandatory taco night. And I'm cooking up the food. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, it's just like war flashbacks. As for the puking thing, it's one of those things that I always start. It's always the same progression. It's, do I have to puke? I don't think I have to puke. And then it's like, wow, I really feel like trash. I hope this goes away. And then it's a thought of, I wonder if I actually do have to puke. And then it's like looking forward to it in a sick, twisted way, because usually whenever I do, I'm okay afterwards.
Right.
It's one of those things.
When I get sick enough to vomit, it's like a day of vomiting. Like, it's happened twice in my life. No, three times, because it happened once when I was a kid. And I just get, it'll be like a day and a half of puking. Just puke, 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 sleep, puke, sleep, puke, sleep, puke. It's terrible. But yeah. I will say this, man. Usually when I puke something, I can't put that thing back into my body through the mouth. Like, it just cannot happen. Like there are certain types of beer I can never drink again because I vomited them. There are certain foods that I'm like, nope, can't get near my mouth, you know.
That was a really weird progression. You said you couldn't put it in through your mouth, and you immediately went to beer. So my mind goes to butt chugging.
Well, no, I mean, like, after I puke it, I can't put it back in my mouth.
Again, just really weird phrasing.
I don't understand what's so weird about this. I'm just saying facts here. All right, moving on. Let's get off puke and poop altogether. And apparently the peen, because then Jason just comments, Baldur's Gate 3 has floppy peen. I don't know. I know we talked a little bit about Baldur's Gate 3. I don't know why floppy peen has anything to do with it. It does. It does have some floppy peen in it. I don't know. He then continues, my first doctor in Legion was an old man who walked slow and decrepit. Like, it was so funny, but I had to find a new doctor. I don't know what this comment is in. You know what this comment is in?
Talking about Watch Dogs. I know we were talking about
Watch Dogs. Oh, Legion. Okay. All right. I didn't put the Walk Dogs Legion together. I was like, Legion? What the fuck is Legion? Yeah. Slow and decrepit. I love when you got the old people. You can get the old people and they just, like, puttered along, like, meh, 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 meh. Like, those characters were hysterical to me. Oh, I had this one character that I was obsessed with because he was really good at fighting, but he was, like, a lawyer. And he was always in a suit, so I called him Krav Maga Lawyer, and I just got so excited about him. Like, Krav Maga Lawyer! At it again! Just, like, ninja kicking everybody. I took him to the underground fighting arenas that they have in Legion, and he's still in his fucking suit, like brawl boxing people. I love it. All right, moving on. Jason then continues. Best Fallout 4 mod is Sim Settlements 2. It overhauls the settlement system, and it has its own storyline that not only rivals the actual Fallout 4 story, it's far more compelling. And it adds a shit ton of little side stuff. It's like a deluxe DLC, and that's what I'm talking about, man. With Fallout 4, that's a big thing that we were talking about last time. The mod community, it's this kind of shit. It's why you can't fuck over that community. You know what I mean? Like, the mod community is what keeps that game alive. And like I said, you get mods. Like, Jason is a console player. He got that mod on a console, you know? So, like, the mod stuff are big. That's why I feel like screwing their community on that was a lot worse than any just botched game they did before. Mm-hmm. And I have some Todd Howard news later.
Todd Howard news.
Oh, he's so obnoxious. He's such an idiot.
I wonder if it's what I think it is.
Might be. I might just bust it during fan traction because I think there's another comment about Bethesda later. Jason then continues, Skyrim, Fallout 4, Ark, both versions, Divinity, Original Sin 2. I can't think of any more console games with mods. This is what I'm saying. Like, consoles don't get the mod support on console. And if a game company is doing that, then, I mean, it's bread and butter for them. I don't know. And I do want to point out two of the four that he named are, in fact, Bethesda. You know, Skyrim and Fallout 4. He then continued again. I love horrible arenas. Just that a lot of the games in this one were themed way outside my level of interest. I want to play Create a Mutanimal, though. Thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. Got me the win. Jason, then one final time. My GBA games were Pokemon Ruby, Pokemon Emerald, Pokemon Leaf Green, and Pokemon Final Fantasy. I mean, Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. That was a good one. I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Anything to add to any of those, Neil?
No, sir.
All right, moving on. Philbilly330 then jumps in. Owlcat is the Rogue Trader dev, and they make very good games. However, their games, to me, seem to be overcomplicated systems for my taste. Again, could they do Baldur's Gate 4? Could they do Baldur's Gate 4 justice? I don't know. I don't know if they could. I still find it funny that, like, Larian had to beg them to be allowed to make it, and now Hasbro is just, like, the hobo dying on the street, begging anybody to make a fourth game, you know?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, and I think that is what's going to be the undoing of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think they've put themselves in a real bad position. And I, personally, I don't know about Larian, because they do seem very creative as far as they go, and they may have just wanted to work on something else. And I know all of their like press releases say, hey, Hasbro is a great partner, yada yada yada, but I can't help but wonder if there isn't a little behind the scenes where, like, if Hasbro had been more accommodating and more, you know, welcoming to Larian about this project and had more faith in them before it was the greatest game ever made, maybe Larian would want to do a fourth one. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know they are a very creative studio. They like to do their own projects, and when they kind of like, we're going to do this, now we're going to do this. So maybe they were always going to switch. But at the same time, there is part of me that wonders if Hasbro hadn't been just a little bit better about things, maybe there would be a Baldur's Gate 4 on the way, or at least some more DLCs, you know? Who knows? And Philbilly gets real militant here. Question about Bethesda stuff. I agree with what you guys are saying, but what on the internet? I'm sorry, I gotta. What on the internet does Bethesda seem to have the biggest, most rap? I think he meant why. Oh no, I read it wrong. But why on the internet does Bethesda seem to have the biggest, most rabid shill fans that would take a bullet for the stupid company and Todd Howard? Hell, Fallout isn't even the original IP. It's Brian Fargo's and a bunch of other guys who were in exile, which the internet seems to forget. And frankly, hot take, parentheses, and I really do like the show and the Fallout lore, but the lore and the story of Wasteland series is better. And yes, I realize this is my anecdotal opinion. I argue the only reason that most wouldn't agree with me is simply because those games are all CRPGs, which aren't as popular and have less reach. All right, so it's a lot to unpack there. It's a lot to unpack. I'm going to say this. There is, I think, with any popular game series, any popular game company that has, and regardless of Bethesda's track record lately, they did have a legacy of really popular, really awesome games. You're going to end up with kind of very rabid fans. I do think there is kind of like a more rabid fan base for Bethesda. I will say I think that's dwindling, especially after Starfield, and especially with a lot of the ways that Todd Howard has handled some stuff. And for that matter, Bethesda has handled some stuff. On the other part, I don't forget that Fallout was the original. I think that a lot of people do attribute the writing of Fallout to Todd Howard, and that they necessarily shouldn't, because the IP was already there. He just kind of created the stories in it, which are arguably lower quality than the original two Fallouts if you're just looking at the narrative of it. That being said, I don't know if I'd say that Wasteland is a better lore, personally. I like them both. I don't know. I can't really put one over the other, just being completely and totally honest here. I think there is something to be said about open world games getting more attention than CRPGs, though I do think that is something that is going to possibly change over the next couple of years, and in a lot of ways already has. Like, since Baldur's Gate 3 came out, I mean, Rogue Trader was a huge release. Like advertisement wise, I don't think they would have put that much money into the advertising budget if Baldur's Gate 3 hadn't come out and been the huge hit that it was. I think there are a lot more CRPGs that are like, hey, look at this thing, you know what I mean, than there was before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll agree, there's definitely something to the CRPG argument there. Even myself, I remember when Fallout 3 was announced and seeing that it was like an open world shooter game, I was interested in it. I knew nothing about the prior games, and it wasn't until I started looking into Fallout 3 that I found out that the other games were those, like top down isometric CRPGs. So yeah, the appeal on that is not as broad, and even the show itself bringing Fallout back into the zeitgeist, basically. Fallout games have spiked in their in their popularity lately, so everybody's been all about them. I think it was the show that did that, but that's the thing, is it's a combination of rabid fans, because Bethesda always has had those rabid fans, but I think they finally burned the last of the goodwill that they had.
They are definitely starting to. I'm definitely starting to see more and more. And more hate. It started with Fallout 76, and while I'll definitely agree, there's still those fans out there that are like, Bethesda, nothing can be wrong with Bethesda. Or those people who are like, here's why Fallout 76 is good. You know, stuff like that. It's definitely like taking a nosedive as far as I'm concerned. You know, I'm going to bust my news right now. Todd Howard recently did, I think part of it is because Bethesda is suffering from the same thing Sony does, which is completely and totally being out of touch with their consumer base. Todd Howard recently did an interview, and they asked him why the mixed reaction for Starfield, like why in his opinion was it a mixed reaction? Do you know what he said, Neil?
I remember hearing the article. I can't remember exactly what was said, though.
He said it was too different from Skyrim and Fallout. No, motherfucker. It was the same game again. It was the exact same game, to the point where the systems were exactly the same. Like, you didn't even make, like, really technological upgrades, with the exception of the really big universe. Like, it was... Fuck Fallout It was fucking Fallout and Skyrim, and I would actually argue with less interesting stuff on it, like planets and planets of nothing, you know what I mean? Whereas Skyrim and Fallout, there was something new around every corner. The map was really small, but something new around every corner. This guy said it was too different from Skyrim and Fallout. Did you feel like it was different? I felt like when I started playing Starfield, I was like, this is Skyrim in space and not as good.
I think it was different and too different in the wrong ways. I feel like they could have, instead of making an entire universe, just stuck with a solar system and put more time and effort into it. Having each planet be basically the map of like something like Skyrim, to where it's that, but exponentially more.
Like
the biggest problems. Like the biggest problem that I had personally with Starfield was there were way too many systems that it was like impossible to keep a handle on everything that was going on. And it was just a convoluted mess of like symbols and shit flashing all over the place. Yeah. Like the ambition far outweighed the actual result of what they threw together in the end.
I'm actually going to disagree with you. Not on everything. I do agree with all of those problems that you just mentioned. But like one of my biggest problem with it was when I felt like I was playing it, I felt like I was playing Fallout. Like from just the mechanics, like I was like, oh, we're lockpicks. Okay. And I've got to collect the lockpicks and they break if I don't lockpick. I mean, there's a different mechanism to the lockpicking, but other than that, it's lockpicking. And then pickpocketing is the same thing. I've got to kneel down and walk up behind somebody and try and steal their wallet. You know, like there was nothing, there was no forward advancement in any of the systems. It was just like they reskinned everything again. And like that was my biggest problem with it, was I was like, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything new. You didn't update anything. And I've repeatedly said on the channel, as much as I like Skyrim, and to a lesser degree Fallout 4, I don't think if you release those games in a vacuum today, they would be nearly as popular. I think that they were really good because of the technology that they had at the time, and it was pushing that technology. But we've moved way past that technology, and you're still making Skyrim. You know what I mean? Like you haven't advanced any of your systems or any of your menus or anything. You know, there's still a lot of stupid bullshit in it that just is holdover from that. I don't know. And as far as the CRPG versus the open world, I will say this. I don't want to say that they're easier, because on a whole, difficulty is really hard to judge nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. But they're more accessible than a CRPG, is the thing. Like, an open world shooter is so much more accessible than a CRPG is. And I think that's one of the reasons it pulls those. It's always going to pull kind of some more fans in. Doesn't mean CRPGs are any worse of games. They're great games. Arguably better than your first person or your third person shooter type games. But there is just something about, like, that pull. You know what I mean? Like, that ease of access that the casual fan can just pick up Fallout 4 and intuitively understand what they're doing for the most part. Whereas if I start playing Wasteland 3 and I don't read those tutorials, I am dead. Like, so, I don't know. There's just something about that. I will say, I still do think that while it does have its ravenous fans, there is kind of a nosedive happening for Bethesda right now. And they really need to get a... my opinion, they really need a win. This Indiana Jones game better knock the socks off everybody, which I don't think it's going to...
Well, I mean, even look at something like, I didn't write this down for my newsy bits here, but everything that's being brought to the forefront, or at least, you know, being cognizant of with Redfall. Mm-hmm. Redfall is a year out from launch, and there are people who bought the $100 version of the game because new heroes were promised. No new word, heroes, no nothing. The game's content. Not even... Yep. Passable still.
it's still barely functional. We are a year out, and those people spent $100 for that. And they have not received a refund. They haven't received word of it. I would be furious. Now, granted, don't spend $100 on a pre-order for a game like that. But at the same time, yeah, it's a fucking nightmare. That's a fucking nightmare for anybody, man. fucking Redfall. All right, so one final one from Philbilly. Just going to throw this out there. When a company is actually good, they do get tipped. Look at Larian and BG3 and how many people bought 2, 3, and even 4 copies just to support a great company end game. I don't disagree with that. And actually, during our conversation, Neil pointed out, you know, free-to-plays and, you know, people buying skins and stuff. So there is ways for them to get tipped. There are ways for them to get extra money. I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think it would be interesting if a company, especially a games-as-service company, switched to a completely crowdfunded, not with selling anything, but like a completely crowdfunded basis for monetary. I would like to see that experiment and if that worked or not. Like, I'm not saying it would work. I'm not saying it wouldn't. But like, if you said, hey, I'm going to give you everything for free. Every skin we make, every DLC, everything, it's for free. You guys have to give us money, though, and if we don't make enough money to keep it alive, we've got to shut our doors. I would think that that would be a... It'd just be really interesting to see if how willing people are to kind of... Because we have seen that lately, that people are more willing to pay for the content they specifically want, you know? It's why Kickstarter is big, you know? Mm-hmm. They'll pay for that specific content, even though they're not really getting that much in return. I would love to see a games as service do that. Like, it would have to be a company with a lot of trust with people already, which not a lot of games as service companies have anymore. Maybe the like Helldivers, I could see pulling that off, you know? And that would be really interesting, though they're in shit. Okay, that's it for Fan Traction. I don't want to bust any more of my news stories now. we are going to talk about age. We have been gaming for a long time. I am 42. Neil is considerably younger, but
34.
Fucking asshole. So we are going to, but we both come up gaming. We've been gaming for most of our lives. So we're gonna kind of look at like what we liked when we were kids versus what we like now, and how our age kind of changed that, so to speak. But yeah, we'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to a talking point. I'm going to toss it right over to Neil, since this was his baby today.
So, on my way into work the other day, I typically listen to, like, any sort of, like, gaming something, like, news, podcasty thing. And my mind started to wander during it, and I really was thinking about, you know, how time changes how we have enjoyed games and stuff. Primarily like what it is that we like, our personal preferences, and how the nostalgic sort of view of looking back on gaming from where we were as opposed to where we are now, how that's affected. So I'm looking, when I was thinking about this topic, I'm thinking a lot more about not necessarily like, oh, I remember trying the thing and knowing that I liked it, which, of course, you know, is going to come up at some point in this conversation. But like myself as a personal example, I used to be super big into like online competitive stuff, primarily Halo and Street Fighter. Granted, I'll still pop back in from time to time on Halo Online for like multiplayer, but I really don't look for that anymore. I don't care about the multiplayer aspect of a game. I know that my time is a lot more limited now. You know, I can't really sink a whole heck of a lot of time into something, even something like the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I haven't touched it in 2 weeks just because I haven't had the time to do it. That's why I like these shorter games, but that didn't used to be how I was. I used to love the massive time sink that I could play forever. So I don't know. I just kind of wanted to get into that and see where this sort of conversation goes.
I think it's a really interesting topic, and it's something I've been thinking about. I mean, I even... I've had conversations with Phil Billy about it too, because he had told me he kind of bottomed out on Borderlands a little bit. And I was like, man, sometimes it'd be like that sometimes, you know? When I was younger, in 20s, early 20s, Max Payne 2 were my absolute number one and number two game of all time, period. I had played them so many times, I couldn't now, but I played them so many times that I had memorized all the lines from both of the games. To the point where, like, in the second game, there is still a quote that I absolutely love. And I used to quote it to people all the time back then. Like, lots of different quotes. Now I've got the one which is, people always look back and ask if they could have done something different, if they could have been something different. But what they don't realize is that if they had done something different, they'd just be a different person asking a different set of questions. Love that. Love that. That's Max Payne 2, 100% in there. And, like, that's how much I love those games. I would just play through them over and over again. It was like watching a movie for me. It was like Tuesday night, I'm going to play through Max Payne 2 again. And I just play through it start to finish. The Prince of Persia's, Sands of Time, Warrior Within, Two Thrones. Same thing. Play through them all the time. Just over and over again. That narrative kind of solo game. Wanted nothing to do with online multiplayer. Wanted nothing to do with getting sweaty. And definitely didn't want long games that I'd get stuck in forever. And that just changed. It changed. And when it changed, I think, was A, the price of gaming kind of went up for me. And I kind of came to a realization that I was like, why am I buying a game that I'm going to be done with immediately for a large amount of money when I could buy a game that I could, at any time point in time, go back to and play again? Like, anytime I feel like fantasy, I can boot up Skyrim. Anytime I feel like hockey, I can boot up NHL. Like, that was my thought process, how my thought processes had changed. And it is interesting to me, because, like, I used to care so much about finishing a game. And now, I don't want that pressure. Like with Alan Wake 2, I don't want to play Alan Wake 2. Not because it's not a good game. I am positive it is a great game, okay? Positive, but I don't want to play like three rounds of it and then like have a stroke and I can't use my hand anymore and I can't finish it. Like, there's this weird pressure about finishing those kind of games, whereas if you're creating a character and just that character's in the world, the game's done when you want it to be done. You know, when you're sick of it, you move on. Same with games of service. Skull and Bones, I recently took it off my hard drive. Not because I don't like the game, just because I needed to make some space and I had decided to play a couple of other games. I know that right now I could boot up Skull and Bones and I know the experience I would be getting. I also don't feel like I missed out on anything by walking away from Skull and Bones when I did. Whereas with the narrative stuff, like Eidolon Chronicle, I told you about that, the JRPG, the follow-up to Tsukimi, we talked about it here on the channel. Mm-hmm. I have currently kind of stopped playing it because there's just a, honestly, because a friend of mine was like, hey, I have never played For Honor and I want to play For Honor. And I looked at my For Honor track marks and was like, yeah, let's do that again. I'll put another 200 hours into that. Why not? So I have been sucked right back down that competitive fighting game hole. But the thing is with Eidolon Chronicles, it is a very narrative-based game with tons of characters. I feel like this pressure in the back of my head, like, I gotta finish that game at some point, you know? Whereas if that was Skyrim, I'd be like, whatever. You know? That's it. There were characters in Skyrim where I would literally... My first character in Skyrim, and I've told this story before, I didn't finish the main story of Skyrim until I was six characters in and I was playing it on PC. Okay? My original characters, I would be like, what does this guy want to do with his life? And then that's what I would do. My first character was a Argonian enchanter who was kind of like a cleric dude. And he ended up getting married, building a house. And I was like, yeah, he's done, man. He's happy. I move on to the next character. I completed this dude's story, you know? I had another character where it was all about the war. Let's do the war. He's the war guy. Let's get through that war storyline. And that was his thing. one of my characters was a thief, and I did the entirety of the Thieves Guild, like the entirety, not even just what people think is the end, because there's a whole nother level of it where you rebuild the Thieves Guild and then you end up like pledging fealty to the Nightingale God or whatever. Crazy shit. I did all the Thief Guild stuff, and then I was like, he's done. That's what's his thing. He's not saving the world from the dragons. Like, that's not what he is, you know? I don't know. I've been talking for a really long time. But, like, my tastes have definitely changed as I've gotten older. I don't want to be, like, now that I'm older, I don't want to be stuck in a game. And I don't want to feel like I've got to finish a game or I'm doing a disservice to somebody. I hate that. I hate when I get into those things. I'm not saying those games aren't rewarding. When I finished Plague Tale, I didn't like the ending. I'll be honest. I hated the ending of Plague Tale Requiem. It was fucking awful. But still, I was proud of myself for completing it, but the last, like, three levels, I didn't want to play. I had already found another game that I wanted to move on to, but I wanted to force myself to get through this so that I could say I finished it. And I hate that. That's just this narrative feeling to me. All the narrative games have that to me, you know?
Yeah, so for me, overall, like I mentioned before, I used to be really big into, like, a lot of online competitive stuff. Huge, massive games that I know I could sink time into. I know, like, my original Skyrim save file, that there on its own, I still, it was a long time before I went back to Skyrim because of the fact that I knew the amount of time I already had in Skyrim in that one save and all the things that I had already done. And I knew that I wasn't going to have the time to really flesh out and enjoy the game like I enjoyed it before again. Yeah. At least not in that same way.
Yeah.
Now Skyrim has turned into, since I upgraded my Wi-Fi in the house, Skyrim has been that thing that I just play on my phone on the Razer Kishi for a half hour here and there.
Right.
When I look at, like, the games that I currently play, it's funny. I alluded to this about a year ago whenever Street Fighter VI came out. Mm-hmm. I had Tears of the Kingdom at that point, and I told myself, I'm not going to buy Street Fighter VI for a while because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to buy it and I'm never going to play it.
Right.
And sure enough, I had the moment of weakness and decided to go buy it anyway. And sure enough, I only put about an hour, hour and a half into it. And I haven't been back to it since. That game's coming up on a year since it's been out because I just don't have the time. I'm one of those now to where if I'm playing a game, I'm a one game kind of person. And it's not going to stop me from, you know, buying games still, of course, because that's my toxic trait.
Right. I get you.
Yeah. It's one of those things to where, you know, even buying Baldur's Gate 3, I was like, I know how much of a commitment this is. And I don't know if I can, you know, honestly commit to it and say that it's going to be, you know, something that I'm going to honestly get through. That, which is why we only get to play it like once every 2 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, once every 2 weeks or so. Tears of the Kingdom, I've still not finished. Tears of the Kingdom, I intentionally kind of walked away from just because that's one of those things that I know once I roll credits, I'm going to be done for a very long time before I go back to it. And there's other
nothing
games.
Really to do on those games afterwards, which is
fair. But like, I don't know. That's why I enjoy nowadays. I look for the shorter experience, the narrative sort of, this is what I have to show you that could easily be turned into an hour and a half, 2 hour long movie, but the whole process is going to take you 15, maybe 20 hours to go through.
Right.
Because I know I just don't got that kind of time anymore, man. And that is the shit of it. I almost wonder if that sort of thought process that a lot of us older individuals who've been growing up gaming have is part of the reason why nostalgia just sells so hard. Because you kind of get transported back to that initial time. which is why I can play through Sonic 3 and Knuckles basically once every single year. I can get through it in like a day and a half, basically. I go through, I feel my feels, I enjoy it, I roll credits, and done, and I can go straight back into it again. Part of the reason why something like Undertale...
The people watching can see us.
What?
Sorry, we weren't trying to throw you off. My daughter came down.
Oh my god, at the camera. I thought you were whispering to me.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't think I was trying. I thought I was whispering enough.
What am I seeing?
No, what's my daughter came down, and I was trying to wait for a break to say she came down and set her upstairs, but yeah. So she started waving at you, and I was like, he can't see us. They could see us on the podcast. He said hi. All right, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody.
This is my daughter, Stella, who should have been in bed and asleep. When?
At 8.
Yeah, at 8. What time is it now for all the people who watch it?
9.
Yeah, 9. An hour.
And I'll tell you this.
What? Make it quick.
I have a favorite game you can go see on Xbox.
It is Slime Rancher 2. She got really into it. If you want to hear about it, why don't you just plug it? Plug your podcast. Might as well, right? We got a guest. It's the honorable thing to do.
Check out Slime Rancher 2 if you want. But Slime Rancher 2 is super cool.
It is. All right. Can you go to sleep now?
Okay.
Thank you. Good night. Stay in bed. Don't bother your mother. All right. #FatherStuff. Sorry to throw you off, man.
No, totally fine.
Let you talk.
I thought you were whispering about something behind me. I'm just become hyper aware of my surroundings, thinking like there's like a giant spider behind me or something. But yeah, overall, That's kind of where I am. Like, I wish I could still feel the same way that I feel about gaming. And I don't think it's everything going on in the industry as a whole that has made me become this way. Because I know that there used to be a time, I think everybody had this point in time, where they knew they had responsibilities, mm-hmm. and they would say, I'm just gonna not worry about that. Like,
yeah.
I could very easily, if I wanted to find more time for gaming, just stay up an extra 3 hours every single night and go to bed at like 2-3 in the morning every single night. Like, it's nothing. But I know that's going to affect me in my day-to-day life. It's a matter of energy and time overall.
Well, and you're right about that. You're right about a lot of your points. I personally though, I'm kind of glad I don't feel about gaming the way I used to. I do long for the halcyon days of ignorance about the actual industry. I will say that, like, the idea to do this podcast was both my greatest success and my worst failure ever, because it was like, oh, now I'm researching this and how terrible it is, and I'm stuck in this hole of terribleness. But one thing I will say is my appreciation of video games right now has never been higher. It's never been higher. Like, when you go into a video game and you truly feel like you're in that world, and I think the games right now, when they're done good and they're done right, they really can make you feel that way. And there's a lot of bullshit out there, don't get me wrong, there is, but like, it's just so much fun. Like, I love that. Like, I still have that sense of wonder that I had when I was a kid, you know, but now it's like, it's so much more, because I've seen what... I played games on Nintendo. I knew what a Nintendo could do. And then to step foot into even Skull and Bones is like, holy shit. Like, just look at what this is. Like, yeah, this is a fully rendered Indian Ocean with pirate fights and stuff. Like, think about that compared to fucking The Wrecking Crew. You know, it's just not even a comparison. And, like, that sense of wonder still hits me on the regular basis when I'm playing video games. And I still love that. And I love that feeling. Like, Baldur's Gate 3. was one of the big ones for me too. It was just like, this is just so good. Like, it's just like, I am this character and I'm in this world and I've got friends and I can romance whoever I want. I can talk to whoever I want. I can decide the situations however. It was just so, like, that sense of wonder is never been better. I will say also, for me, and on the subject of, like, you always have shit and every once in a while you just play video games, you know. My brain works very weird, and I've talked very slightly about it in the years because I don't like to talk about it, but it never shuts up. Like, there are always, like, three or four voices going in my head at all times just saying crazy shit. One of them's my dad just reminding me how much I suck, and another one, you know, it's just, like, a ton of voices. Like, seriously, if somebody put themselves into my shoes for 10 seconds, people would realize that I'm fully insane and just posing as a normal person and would put me into an asylum so fast. But with video games, it's meditative because I can only think about the video game while I'm playing the video game. I can't, like, play a video game and think about the shit that happened that day. I can't play a video game and get lost in money troubles or car problems or I'm not making my deadline on a writing project or something like that. I can't think of any of that. I have to focus on the game because I have to press the buttons. I have to focus on the timing. I have to focus on the story. I have to focus on what's going on in the game, especially multiplayer games that are very frenetic. I think it's one of the reasons that For Honor just keeps pulling me back is because you can't think about anything other than For Honor when you're playing For Honor, period. It's For Honor. That's what you're thinking about, period. If you think about anything else, you're going to die. There's just no way around it. And, like, that has always been something that just, it's why I'll probably never, I would never retire from video games because no matter how much I'm mad at the industry or how much I'm mad at what's going on, there is still this place of peace at the center core of playing a game, playing a video game, computer game, whatever you want to call it, that that just does something different to me. Like, even RPGs, if I'm playing RPGs or game mastering RPGs, I can very easily be consumed by other things, you know? I can't do it with video games because you have to be present and in that moment. And I just love that. It quiets the voices in my head for, you know, however long I'm playing it. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's meditation for me.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know what it is like. It could be a combination of, you know, just like personal experiences or like life circumstances. Like myself, I see when a new game comes out, especially if it's one that I'm like, oh shit, that's cool as hell, I immediately want to go get it. But I know in my mind that I'm not going to have the time to do what I need to do to actually enjoy that game and get my money's worth for it. It's almost what I maybe akin to a dragon hoarding treasure. It's another box on the shelf, and I love looking at the shelf, but then you look at the choices and then I become overwhelmed and I want to go back to the same two or three games that I've ever played over and over again.
That's true. I will say that the nostalgic comes out. I've thought about starting up another Skyrim game like three or four times, you know, in the last month. And it's like there's so many new things coming out. I also say you do get more frugal as you get older. You get more and more responsibilities, and you have to bring yourself to think about, like, well, is this worth this? You know what I mean? Like, is it worth it to pull that money out of my account to buy this game, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I almost wonder how, like, 10, 20 years from now, how I'm going to see gaming. Like, am I going to see it as something that's like, well, you know, I dusted the console off and played a game, you know, or is it going to be something to where, like, someday, one day when I eventually retire, that's literally all I'm going to do. Like, right. That's finally getting to your backlog, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. And that's the thing overall is even what you look for overall changes.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Always been a console gamer. Mm-hmm. We started doing this channel. You built your PC. Phil did his too. And I'm like,
year before mine, I think.
Oh, he did his first?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. And I had never built a PC. Like, I knew all the stuff about it, but I had never actually done it. When y'all went through and did it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it too. Yeah, you know, why not? And overall, I don't regret building the PC. It's nice to have. It's definitely, you know, come in handy for a lot of different things, you know. And I can run games on the PC at a higher fidelity. But at the same time, it's like, well, I just kind of want to boot up my PlayStation and play on that, even though I have a more powerful, more capable machine in the basement. Yeah. When I have free time to play games, I almost never turn this thing on.
Really?
Especially now. Oh yeah, absolutely.
There is something to be said, though. You have the new devices. We got these PCs specifically to bypass console generations anymore. The newest console I have is the Switch, and the newest one before that is an Xbox One Series One, like the old school one. So, like, you have a PS5 and an Xbox Series X, so, like, in that space, like, I kind of get it, you know? I don't know that I would always boot up the PC if I just had those consoles available.
Well, and what's funny, too, is the whole reason I upgraded my Wi-Fi in the house was so that I could stream games, because I found myself yearning for a Steam Deck or an Ally. Like, to the point that at one point in time, I had an Ally in my cart from Best Buy, like, ready to just hit the button. And I was like,
myself out of this.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't need this. I have what this thing can do in the basement.
Right.
And then my, you know, toxic lizard brain is like, but you can't hold it in your hands. So it's like, so
that's what it sounds like. I could second that.
So then my happy medium was, well, I go ahead and I spend money on upgrading the Wi-Fi. I made sure I got a deal on the actual router system, and it does what I initially wanted it to do.
Right.
You know, I got faster internet speed in the house wirelessly, and I can now stream games very reliably on my phone whenever I want. But God damn it, if I don't go on Steam's webpage and look at the 64-gigabyte refurbished Steam Deck for $280 and see that they take PayPal, and I'm like, hey, man, why don't you just do that? Like, you know, that's the thing is, like, that part of me never grew up.
Yeah.
That part of me of like, yeah, just collect, hoard the things. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You'll do something with them eventually.
It's weird because when we switched to digital as a society, that part of me, because I was always a collector, that part of me is like, wait, what do I buy for myself now? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what do I purchase for me? I don't have a collection anymore. Like, we have a wall of DVDs in the basement. I don't even think we have a DVD player anymore. Like, it's crazy. Like, and like, that's the same thing for me. Like, it's just like, oh, what do I buy? I don't know what to collect anymore. So I get that.
So, I mean, yeah, overall, like, I don't know. I simultaneously feel like I've somehow magically outgrown my gaming self. Mm-hmm. But am still very firmly rooted in it. It's just that this amount of time that's passed since I've been playing games has changed so drastically. It's like I'm a totally different person when it comes to like my gaming life.
And things switch as you get older. Things change. I will say, same for me. Like, the gamer I was when I started playing video games is completely different from the gamer I am today. And there is something to be said about those responsibilities that take you away from gaming, making it all the sweeter when you get to sit down and play those games. You know what I mean? Like, when I get to sit down for 2 hours and play a game, it's heaven, you know? It's just great. And it is way better because I no longer have days where I'm not working, I don't have a wife or kids, so I'm just going to spend 8 straight hours grinding this out, you know?
Right.
Like, now it's like, you get 2 hours, and they're going to be great 2 hours, and that'll be that, you know? And I like that. I enjoy that. So I don't know. All right, I think we've covered this, though.
Yeah.
What do you guys think out there? We're all old here, so
we're all old here.
How have your tastes changed as you got older? Comment below. Tell us, like, what did you like something when you were a kid? Don't like it anymore, or vice versa. I know I've definitely switched around on a lot of tastes many different times over. So let us know. But we're gonna take a quick break. Be right back with the news stories.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our last segment. That is the news. That's where we collect news stories, headlines. We don't necessarily want to give a full talking point, but we want to let you guys know about them. We want to riff about them, tell each other about them. I only have 2. Neil has 5. So I'm just going to get both mine out of the way. Maybe I take one away from Neil. Makes everything shorter in the long run. So I am going to start with this one. This is a quick and easy one. Elden Ring fans out there, they have announced that, well, their DLC is coming out soon, I think.
Yeah.
It is called Shadow of the Erdtree, and it is it. They have said one and done on the DLC. This is the DLC. You get one DLC. We are done. We are not doing any more Elden Ring. We are moving on. So just be aware of that. This one DLC is the only DLC you will ever get for Elden Ring.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I mean, they're telling me up front. I'm not upset about it. There's no, like, I don't have any hate. And I think they did do a couple of, like, free updates. Wasn't there, like, a versus mode that they added to the game?
I believe that was completely free,
if I recall correctly. So there's been some, like, I don't want to say DLC, but been some, like, updates that have brought new features to the game for free. So that's fine. I mean, they're not false advertising or anything. It's more like a heads up to everybody. My next one's some real bullshit, though. Some hot steaming turds. And it is Sony. I don't even know where to begin on this. Hey, do you like Helldivers? Have you been enjoying Helldivers? This is a great game. Unfortunately, you now need a PlayStation Network account to access it, even if you're on Steam. Apparently... their proposed grace period has ended, so now anybody purchasing the game must get a PlayStation Network account when they purchase the game, and anybody who's already had, and this is the one that's pissing everybody off, everybody who already has it, already has the game, already been playing the game, well, guess what? You now have to open a PlayStation Network account, which is frustrating a lot of people for a multitude of reasons. Number one, their big reason for this. Well, apparently, this was how the game was supposed to launch, with it always being attached to this PlayStation Network. But the server issues when it first launched, which we all remember, were nightmarish. So to ease that tension, they deactivated this whole PlayStation Network thing. Somehow that helped the servers get back online. And basically what they're saying is, now that everything's stable, now we're going to make you do it. A lot of people are pissed about this because, A, PlayStation Network is known for its leaks and its problems. Like, they're probably one of the big developers. They're probably one of the most – they've had the most security instances in the last couple of years, like, of – you know, your data being sold or being stolen. So a lot of people are like, why are you making us put our data on your fucking network? That's terrible. Their response was safety, which is hysterical even more. Like, they want you to do it so that they can cut down on bullying. Okay, we can worry about bullying. I would much rather be bullied than have my name sold to, you know, third world countries or whatever. Like, or... you know, identity thieves, you know. But in addition to this, there are countries where the PlayStation Network is not accessible, but Steam is. And when they took this feature down, like, hey, when you made it playable for everybody on Steam, there are tons of players in these countries that can play the game that will not be able to play the game when they have to sign up for a PlayStation Network account. because they can't access the PlayStation Network. So that's a number two issue. What's even funnier about this is, I cannot remember his name offhand, but the main guy who develops Helldivers actually apologized to everybody on Twitter because it has been review bombed. I mean, and no offense to Helldivers, but it should be. This is a terrible thing to do to people. This is a bait and switch. I know it's not the developers of Helldivers that did this, but if I was playing a game and suddenly I had to sign up for an account that I didn't have to 5 months ago, you better believe my review is going from positive to negative right then and there. So I'm not necessarily upset by the review bombing. It sucks for the developers of this game because the developers of this game just want to make fun games. And he actually went to Twitter and was like, I'm really sorry about this. I just want to make fun games. All we can do is worry about the content because they don't have any control over that part of it. This is all Sony doing this to them and all Sony doing this to us. But at the same time, one of the biggest, I would say, if not the biggest release this year has gone from positive review score to mixed in the course of like 4 days because of this.
Yeah, I think I did see something like literally just today, like Sunday, that they're either looking at or they're walking back that requirement.
Oh, really?
From that, yeah. I'm gonna actually just double check that really quick.
I mean, I put it on my list yesterday, so
yeah.
If they did, I didn't see it yet. No, it says that they...
Oh, that no, they, Sony doubles down.
Doubles down, and they removed Helldivers 2 from sale in countries where the PSN is on it. So get this! If you did buy it in that country, where PSN is not available, you can't play it anymore. You're done. You're fucking out. We'll keep your $60, though. We'll keep it. This is fucked up shit. Super fucked up shit. Pulled from Helldivers 2, this is the IGN story, and this was 7 hours ago, was pulled from 177 countries because of the PSN network thing. This is insane. This is insane. And this speaks again to something we've talked about a lot on this podcast lately, and that is Sony is completely and totally out of touch with its fan base, with its player base, with all normal consumers out there. The fact that they're doing this and doubling down on it and being like, take a look at our cocks, like, that's ridiculous, especially when they are in no position financially to pull this shit. Like, no position. But yeah, a ton of these games, of 177 countries has been refused to. The game has now received 215,000 negative reviews since this was announced 2 weeks ago. This is crazy.
I feel like this would not have been as bad if two separate things would have happened. If right from the jump, they were more forthcoming about, hey, so just so y'all know, because the launch is weird, we're suspending the PSN thing. It's going to come back eventually. If they were more like forthcoming with that right from the get-go, I think that would have helped. And second, I feel like if they hadn't just like popped in, just surprise, motherfucker, and like, guess what? Yep. Y'all need your PSN stuff like now. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would have, you know, maybe bedside manner, so to speak, and phrasing would have been a better choice in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, why make it available in those countries? You know what I mean? If like how fucking stupid are you? Like, that's a big problem I have here too. Is like, you're aware, like your PlayStation, you're aware where your PlayStation Network is not available. So, like, for you to remove that access and make the games playable in those areas, like, this is theft at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way you didn't know that this was going to happen. You can't take a cat out of the bag and get it back in there. Like, this is just ridiculous. Like, you can't put this back. Whether this was a planned thing in the first place or not, you can't spend 6 months letting everybody play without a PlayStation Network and just make them then sign up and cost people the game. Like, I wouldn't be as pissed, right, if they had just said, now you need a PlayStation Network account. I'd be like, all right, that's some bullshit, but fine. Mm. But the fact that this is literally taking away the game from people, from consumers who purchased it in so many ways, is insane. It's absolutely insane, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is my last one, though, sir. So,
take us
to Newstown.
Take us to Newstown. So, let's go... The first one here, the season is upon us. I believe it's the first announcement of an official date for any of the major summer conferences. June 9th, yes. Microsoft has their showcase. They're doing this weird, like, redacted thing, so we're assuming it's going to, like, be Black Ops 5 or something like that is going to be the big to-do at this showcase. So, yeah, I don't think I've heard much of anything about any other companies with what they've got going on, especially given the fact we're in May now. Typically, it's like the first or second week of June. Yeah. All this stuff happens, so we should be starting to get some information here soon.
I don't know. I feel like we've heard about most of the stuff that everybody has in the pipeline. I don't... Like, this conference kind of confuses me a little bit. Like, don't get me wrong, you're right, they always do these conferences around June, around E3 time. But at the same time, almost all the games that are coming out this year have already been announced. We already know about them. And almost all of the games coming out next year we're at least aware of. So, like, I'm not quite sure what we're talking about here. Like, yeah, we could get some new Call of Duty stuff. That makes sense. That's an annualized franchise or a semi-annualized franchise, so that makes sense. I could also see getting, like, maybe some more information or release date on Fable. But other than that, the fuck are they going to talk about here? I mean, we've got Indiana Jones coming, what, September or something? August, September, sure. Something like that? And then, right, sure. But supposedly we have that. We've already got a couple other things. We've seen, like, there's the Obsidian. I guess they could show Avowed for the 77th time. But what's new to show us there? We don't have a... Do we have a release date? I don't think we have a release date.
I think we have a window.
Window. So I guess we could double down on a release date there. Their last show was so utterly lackluster. So I don't know what we see here. I don't know what we see from any of these companies at this point. Like... Well, stay the course, you know?
Well, I know Sony's basically straight up and down said they've shot their shot. They don't have anything really first party coming out this year.
Right.
Nintendo probably has something to show in that they're going to finally tease the announcement or something like that for their next gen hardware. Fingers crossed for that Metroid Prime 4 announcement that I hope for every single year.
I'm hoping for you, buddy. Was that one of my predictions?
I've given up on predicting.
Didn't you give up and then I predicted it as a dick?
I think that was
was that last year?
I think that was last year.
I know I predicted no Switch this year, and I'm pretty sure I got that one in the bag.
So yeah, no Switch this year. It'll be out in 2025.
Nailed it.
I think my crazy one, though, may actually...
Which crazy one was that?
The crazy one is Microsoft announces a first-party portable console.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're dead on. If they don't announce it this year, they'll announce it next year, which will kill you, but I think that's happening. I think that's definitely
especially
coming.
Especially given the fact, I guess there was either... It was a system update for the Xbox or notes for a system update recently that's going to be coming out. The ability to easily reconnect to Wi-Fi services that you've connected to before in the Xbox system software, which would be a very weird thing for a console to have.
It would be.
Not like people are porting those around very often. But
no.
Yeah, the season is upon us. I'm sure we'll have some, I think we'll have some interesting stuff to talk about with that. And there was a lot of stuff that was rumored and leaked out from the various lawsuits over the past year that Microsoft has been involved in.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a bit more of that. But outside of that, I'm not expecting a whole heck of a lot and one more things that are really going to be massive.
No. I think we've got what we've got, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, the things I'm looking forward to aren't even first party anymore. They're little indie things like Towerborn and stuff like that that I want to see, you know, release dates for.
From there, we've actually talked a little bit about it here before, but we're just going to circle back to Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro. They're pumping $1 billion into gaming.
Yes, I saw this.
$1 billion with a B. They, I guess, smelled the blood in the water after the whole Baldur's Gate 3 thing and said, hey, I guess people really like that their game stuff, huh? And is just throwing wads of cash at it. It's more so going to be for, from what I understand, either the building out of their own first-party studio or the acquisition of studios.
I think this is really interesting. I think more what we're going to see is independent studios getting a big fat paycheck to make a D&D game. I think is what we're more going to see. I don't necessarily think we're going to see a Hasbro development company, you know, or production company for video games. I don't think we're going to see that. I could be wrong, but I don't think a billion's quite enough for that, actually, nowadays.
Well, you got to think, you know? Too, they combine with the D&D stuff, and then, you know, they also have Hasbro has, like, Transformers and shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the upcoming movie and everything, they may be trying to strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, Hasbro, I do a lot of TTRPG stuff on this channel too. With Wiz, I've become a lot more aware of Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast, and they are shitting the bed all over the place. So D&D Beyond is a nightmare. I think that, like, they're in over their heads with this, and I think they're like, you know what we'll do to get out of this hole? We'll dig. And I think that that's the real problem here, because they already have announced a couple of D&D projects from third-party developers. Payday Company is working on a D&D product. There's another company that's working on some D&D project. I think that, like, and then of course they're looking for a partner for Baldur's Gate 4. I think we will be getting some D&D projects. I don't think they're going to be anywhere as good. I think the one thing that Hasbro is forgetting, I think Hasbro is looking at it, and this is the problem with all the corporate people, all the corporate CEOs, this is how they look at it. I think they're looking at it like D&D plus video games equals money. And that's not true. The actual equation is Baldur's Gate plus Larian plus D&D equals money. You know what I mean? So, like, it's not just D&D plus video game equals money. It's just not. So, like, I think that, like, they're in... this is not going to be a good move for them. Just saying.
Give us more to talk about, though.
Yeah, I will.
So, moving on from there. So, now that they're a bit more commonplace, we now have a shitty handheld gaming PC. The MSI Claw. I don't know if you've seen anything about this.
Not.
The MSI Claw was
MSI
launched.
Makes motherboards. Good motherboards.
Yeah, MSI makes motherboards. Another gaming PC.
My motherboard is an MSI, actually.
So they launched the Claw for $600, and the reception of this was so absolutely terrible right from the jump. Effectively, I think it was 1 month after the fact, it got a cut down to $400.
Wow.
Nobody was buying this thing.
$200 off.
So yeah, and it is actual like performance of games on the system. So from there, MSI did acknowledge the performance issues and said that they had an update on the way. Well, they did this update, and this update rolled out, and they said that it was going to boost performance by 150%. They said, yeah, we really messed this up super bad. This optimization patch is going to get us back to where we needed to be. So in testing these performance boosts, it was actually more so along the lines of 28%, not 150, across 19 games tested, and some of which were older, multiple-year-old titles. Only like 5 to 10 frame boost in some instances. Pretty rough. So now that we have a shitty one, I think we have a real industry on our hands, a real marketplace for these things.
Well, you know, it's not the 90s anymore. You can't just put out like the portables aren't like here, throw a tiger out, you know, or something like that. Like you have to really be knowing your shit to make these fucking high-end super games work in your hand. You know what I mean?
Even the Ally is having problems. Mm-hmm. So right from the jump, they had a problem with the overheating of the system was enough to completely melt SD cards. Oof. So it's to the point that it's ill-advised to even put an SD card in there. One of the main selling points was, just slap an SD card in there and you can expand the storage. Who cares what size storage you get on that? Well, apparently it does matter because there is no actual fix. Any fix that ROG has really taken a look at and suggested hasn't worked because the thermals are that far off. Your only option is to completely tear that bitch apart and put in a new NVMe.
Which, fuck that, right?
It's not that bad, but, you know,
it's kind of bad. If you're building your own handheld, you know what I mean?
Yes, like, that's what I was about to say. You know, overall,
spending $600 to make it yourself,
especially given the fact that there's really only two types of people who will buy these handheld PCs. Well, really one, honestly. It's somebody who's already familiar with PC gaming. Mm-hmm. You don't see, you know, kids getting these handheld gaming PCs.
I would argue on the Switch, but not the Switch, the Steam Deck, but for the most part.
Well, Well, that's the thing. A Steam Deck is a completely different beast. You know, it runs Steam OS, runs on Linux.
Yep.
I mean, if you have a 10-year-old getting a Steam Deck and, you know, they're installing the multiple layers of compatibility, I think we need to have a conversation about what this child does in their spare
time. No, I get you. I was just saying it's more accessible to younger audiences.
Yes, via the Steam Deck, absolutely.
Yeah, like ROG Ally is a computer that you hold, whereas Steam Deck is much more like the PC version of a Switch, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess Walmart has a real Roblox store now. I don't know if you heard about this.
I have not.
So, apparently, you can go into Roblox, and because I'm so unfamiliar with how this works, I don't know how you actually do this. I don't know if it's like you go into a world and go into this Walmart store or whatever. You can now use Robux to buy shit in this Walmart store that you can go to a real Walmart store and pick up.
It's fucking genius. From what I know about Roblox, that's fucking genius. It's dumb, but it's fucking genius at the same time.
So you can only do this as long as you are at least 13 years old and have verified your age by sending a picture of yourself holding a photo ID to be verified. This sounds like the beginning of a shitty dystopia.
Yeah, it does. But it's also fucking genius because these... Roblox is weird and scary, honestly. As a parent of a kid who's gotten into Roblox, it is a rabbit hole of just so much. Like, it's both great and terrible at the same time, and there's just so much stuff on it. But, like, you can actually, like somebody could put up a shirt of their own that other people can purchase for Robux, and those Robux go into your account. Like, it's just straight up like a comedy, like an economy. So, like, these kids could straight up earn money, and then, like, it's an untapped market. Like, there's a ton of Robux.
Ah, yes, child labor.
It is. I hate to say it, but that's the thing. Like Roblox, Robux is like, it's a huge economy. Like, if you look at it, there's so many things that people do to, like, get it and earn it and give it away and everything. Plus, Roblox themselves will, like, hand out Robux to certain people who are, like, content creators. And then those people disseminate it to other people. You have this weird almost... Like, Roblox, in a weird way, is a pyramid scheme onto itself. And, like, it... Walmart going, hey, what if we get a cut of that, is fucking genius. I don't know. The problem is I don't understand how they're taking the Robux and turning it into money on the back end. Like, that's my one thing. Because, like, my biggest problem with Roblox and Robux is when the money goes in, it don't come back out. You know what I mean? There's no value in it. It's like, okay, it's in there. Now you can maybe purchase access to that game or maybe buy a new hat for your avatar. Like, that's where the Robux, like, once the money is Robux, it's just Robux. It doesn't come back out. So I don't understand how Walmart is getting money back out of it. But if they found a way to tap that, that's pretty sweet for them. I mean, not for anybody else, but.
Yeah. Soon kids are going to be, like, gambling with Robux.
Oh, they already do. They already do. Jesus, that shit is Christ. Crazy, man. It is crazy. Some of the stuff I've seen just from her watching that. I was so happy. I almost hugged her today because she got into a new game, the Slime Rancher that she was talking about earlier.
Uh-huh.
And she's obsessed with it. And she was like, I think I almost like it more than Roblox. And I hugged her. I was like, thank you. Please, please play a different game than Roblox. And honestly, I don't hate Roblox. I think Roblox has a lot of really fun, cool ideas in it too. My biggest problem with Roblox, though, is like playing it on the PC, I have to switch constantly between the keyboard to do certain things and the controller. Like, it's never fully functional between either on the games. And I'm like, oh man, I don't want to do this. Like, let me do everything with a controller. Or let me do everything with a, you know what I mean? Like, it's just It's obnoxious. I'm sorry. Go ahead with your next one.
So this is the one that I had to do some research to pull up. This is whole crazy.
Okay.
So I don't know if you had seen or not, but Google Play posted a bunch of posts about Sonic that were
I saw this. This is amazing.
God.
I almost put this on my list.
So off the rails. So as near as I could tell, I couldn't find the original posts anymore. So I think they took them all down.
Yeah.
But I found a site that went through and actually very clearly detailed all of this, all of the posts and why they're wrong. So to go over them. One of the first ones is 1991 Sonic. The cover, rotund, husky, still fast as lightning. The actual game, 8-bit glory. And the picture is Sonic and Tails in Sonic the Hedgehog 1 fighting the first boss.
Right. Which is insane, because Sonic 1 doesn't have Tails. Wrong. Yeah, Sonic doesn't have Tails.
It's a 16-bit game.
That's the other one. After that,
1993 Sonic. Okay, Short King. And it's just a picture of him from Sonic Boom.
which is made like 10 years after that, 20 years after that. Did you see the Sega response to this?
Oh yeah.
Like Sega was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Was the actual response.
I love that so much. Somebody theorized that it was an AI, like they had the Google AI do it.
Yeah. And that makes sense. It does. That would absolutely make sense. It does. Like the next one, 1996 Sonic, are those MSCHF boots? And it's a picture of us from something I've never even seen before. It looks like the shitty first generation of the live action Sonic in like running. It was from apparently Sonic Dash, a mobile game, 2003 Sonic. Who needs running at the speed of light when you can hitchhike? From Sonic Jump, which is just a jumping game. There's no running. There's no any of that. Sonic 06 Sonic, he goes 3D again, which is from Sonic Forces, this picture. 2018 Sonic weirdly looked like the 90s Sonic Retro. That's because it was from Sonic Mania. it was supposed to look like that. And then even 2020 Sonic, it was a strange year for all of us. Let's leave it at that. And it's a scene from the second Sonic movie. What in the whole entire shit?
Yeah.
Like the AI angle makes sense.
It does.
It does. But oh my God. Yeah. All of that happening. And then just the single actual response. What are you doing?
What are you doing? I love that. I fucking love that. More power to the Sonic team, because that's the best response. Not like stop, not like this is wrong.
Please.
Just
please stop.
What are you doing? So great. Oh yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah. And that's it?
Oh, that's your last one?
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, then we'll be back with everybody's favorite. We talk about stuff we're doing.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Yes, we are about to. We were gonna before, but my schedule kind of ruined everything. We're about to finish off the recording for the first bit of Ordo, and then from there, I believe we'll take a little bit of a break, I think, between all of us with doing that sort of stuff. But in the meantime, we can start getting back on Lasso 3. So coming soon, I suppose,
within
the next month or so. Yeah, figuring out what it is that
what stream we're going to do, what game we're going to do. Yeah, definitely. We're definitely going to get back to that. I love doing those streams. Yes, we're almost done with Ordo. If you're a TTRPG person out there, keep an eye out for everything. We've got a lot of TTRPG stuff coming that we have finished recording, including two more episodes of Astral Drive, the first of which will be going live tonight. And I've been trying to do premieres with those so that I can like kind of chat with you guys if you're on. It's hard because I'm usually recording something while they're premiering, but I try. I don't know. As far as anything else, I got a couple Snap Judgment reviews coming out or have already came out. I did Aiden Chronicle last week. I'm doing another Crab's Treasure was this week that launched on Monday. And then I think I'm going to do Slime Rancher 2 review because my kid's forcing me to play it. And thankfully so. But yeah, check out everything we got to offer, man. We got a lot of video game stuff, a lot of tabletop role-playing game stuff that we do here on the channel. And yeah, you guys can reach us on Facebook at OmegaGamingDH, on Twitter at OmegaGaming9. You can join our Discord, links in the description below. Influence us and all of our shows from there. As long as you guys keep watching and listening, we will endeavor to keep making them. We'll see you guys next time. And yeah, Lasso 3. We definitely need to like start maybe picking out a game to play together.
What I was thinking about doing is maybe just doing an back in and just doing like a firefight again.
Oh god damn it, you're gonna make me download the Master Chief Collection again, aren't you?
Look, I was gonna make you download the Master Chief Collection anyways because I've been jonesing for some Halo 4 online multiplayer, but I don't want to do it alone.
All right, I will download it again and we will play it again. It will be magical.
It will. You'll just have to make sure that you go through. You'll have to pre-make your loadouts, or you're just going to get an assault rifle and pistol, and that's it the whole time.
Okay. All right. I'll do my best.
I can guide you through what's good and what's not.
I'm just going to bitch about it and then complain about you. That's just how I roll.
That's fine. Well, I mean, that is the content for that.
Right.